Hello and welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Karen, and we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB.
Today we are reporting from beautiful San Francisco after seeing Hamilton, because everything has gone according to plan, and the world is functioning normally. Just kidding. The COVID-19 pandemic that you are all sick of hearing about, and hopefully not sick from, has pretty much obliterated our plans for this month's episode. It's still happening, just not as soon as we intended. Instead, we're going to do a quick rundown of how to survive for the next few weeks, because school is, unfortunately, out. Also, a quick note. That's a Thing is a show about teen culture, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery cough? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that all-encompassing sense of dread. You're worth it. Thank you, Sawbones. But in all seriousness, any protocols mentioned in this episode are specific to the city of Edmonton and or the province of Alberta, and we cannot guarantee things mentioned in this podcast align with the latest recommendations and guidelines. Please keep up to date using the official channels of your country, province, and municipality, and listen to medical authorities. I am not a medical authority. I do not even have a high school diploma. Do not listen to anything I say on this podcast. With that said, and if you've been listening disregarded, we're going to talk about how education is changing and how to survive being at home with your family 24/7 until this all blows over. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Oh my goodness. Well, this episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by The Loop, which is a new podcast from CBC Edmonton. And here's a little trailer so you can hear what it's all about.
Woo.
Hey, I'm Tara McCarthy. I work at CBC Edmonton. And there's a lot of things that happen in this city any given week. So we thought, how about we boil it down to some of those top stories, the ones that make you think, or the ones that maybe even make you laugh, maybe they make you cringe. So we're putting together a new podcast called The Loop. Check it out weekly through CBC Edmonton. The Loop, you might be wondering, okay, what's this all about? Well, it is literally about keeping you in the loop. More importantly, it's all about going behind the scenes. All sorts of details, I see it every day in the newsroom, don't actually make it into those compact radio and television pieces that you see and that you hear. So we thought we'll take stories like these and we're going to find out more. We're going to talk to the reporters about some of the things like how they even found out about this stuff. We'll talk a little bit about everything, politics, we'll throw some arts in there, community, of course. It's about all things Edmonton. Because there's always more to tell. There's always more to the story. I've been in Edmonton for about a year, and I see stories just constantly change. They ebb and flow. I'm learning new things about the city all the time. And maybe you've been here for decades, but there's always new things that we can uncover. So we want to talk about those stories right here on The Loop. Stay in the loop with us, our new weekly CBC Edmonton podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, or more importantly, through your CBC Listen app.
I feel like I have something in my tooth.
Thank God it's a podcast.
So, as you know, I love hearing the story behind the story. I'm a big journalism nerd, so this is a very fun podcast, and I'm glad that we can tell people about it. Again, you can find The Loop on the CBC Listen app or wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can also find it online at cbc.ca/Edmonton.
If there was ever a time to pick up a new podcast, it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, so on March 16th, school in Alberta was canceled. My school didn't continue classes and instead extended spring break, so I've been on spring break for 2 weeks, which would be nice if we hadn't just had winter break, and also the circumstances and the fact that I've had nothing to do for 2 weeks. And I'm going a little bit loopy, I think. It is my understanding that most other schools in Edmonton did the same thing. This is all through a series of text chains and Instagram posts that we use in this tangled web of communication. So I kind of know what's going on with everybody, but also have no idea. It's a real fun time. So that means that classes will resume on March 30th. However, to enforce social distancing, schools will not be opening their doors to students. Welcome to the terrifying world of distance learning.
Is it terrifying?
To me, yeah. Okay. Like, there are kids who don't even show up to class when it's in the school building, and now you're expecting us to quote-unquote show up to class. And also, there's no, like, discreet school area or anything, and if I don't want to attend, I just close my computer. That's like it's a lot of responsibility to put on me, I feel like.
Isn't that a good thing, though?
Anyway, if you've already been using distance learning or homeschooling, congratulations. You are pretty much set. Good job planning ahead for the unpredictable event. I am very proud of you. If you're like us, some adjustments probably need to be made. So here's some general advice for how to make sure that your child, presuming you have one or you are one, is actually doing the school stuff they should be doing.
Oh my God. Just before you launch into this advice, just keep in mind that I'm terrible at that. Like, I don't ride herd on you. You do it. I don't stand over you and make sure you're doing your lessons.
But my brother, on the other hand, yes. You kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
And this is a good time to not babysit your kid. I don't know why I consider babysitting the worst thing in the world. At some point I developed that. You've probably hired some bad ones for me or something. If
no.
any of my babysitters are listening,
you were
great.
Some of your babysitters are listening. No, they're all great.
Anyway, but this is a good time to check in and be like, hey, do you understand what is happening? Because stuff is different now. So if you do not have reliable access to the internet, contact the school. This is important. They can accommodate you. They have to accommodate you and they want to accommodate you. But they need to know that you need that accommodation. It's not good for your kid to be sitting there like, I probably have assignments, but I also cannot access them. So I'm going to sit here and panic instead of doing anything about it, which is my default reaction to most scary things. If you can give your child a laptop, Chromebook, or some other form of computer access, that's really, really valuable. People can do most of the things they need to do on their phones if they have to. There is something way more comfortable about having a computer in front of you, in my experience. So that's a good thing to have. Your child may have more access to information about schooling than you do, so ask them to keep you in the loop. Or ask them where that information is, I guess, because they probably know even if you don't. And they might not have considered that you don't know because you're old and don't understand how these things are done now.
Well, okay. Speaking as a parent who's relatively technologically savvy, right? Like, I know how to look stuff up on the internet. I don't know how to find information and all that stuff. That's not my problem. My problem right now is a mixture of information overload and from, like, everything. And the fact that I'm really, really, really busy trying to get, like, keep my businesses going. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm tuned out because I have no bandwidth in my brain.
Yeah. Anyway, your child, especially if they're in middle school, if they're in high school, can probably take on some of that load. And once you get to high school, the parents are pretty much cut out of the communication loop. Anyway, I'm barely in the communication loop with my high school. It's very difficult when you have that many students all clumped together. So try to get as much information as you can handle, because that's going to put everybody a little bit more at ease during this transitional period. Find the information channels associated with your school. Edmonton Public Schools uses School Zone, so that's a good place to look. If you do not know your child's School Zone information, this is a good time to ask them for it, because I never remember to look at my School Zone, and currently that's where all the important stuff is. So it's always good to have those backups, because if all of a sudden a big thing is coming up, or you guys need to get a certain thing downloaded or whatever, and it's time sensitive, it's good to have that. Learn how classes will be continued. Will they be live streamed? I hope not. This is my worst nightmare. Will they be recording video lectures? Better. Will they be assigning work on somewhere like Google Classroom? Understanding this will help you support your child's learning. Ensure that your child has all the materials they need to continue their schooling. I am a smart child. I realized school would be shut down and brought all of my textbooks home on the Friday before classes were canceled. Your child may not have done that. They may not have been told to. They may not have wanted to carry everything home in their heavy, heavy backpack. I have no sense of self-preservation. So make sure they have everything. And if they do not, find the retrieval instructions associated with the school and get that stuff home so that they have the resources they need. Or get textbooks downloaded. That's another thing you can do. Or get textbooks illegally online and screw over the publishing industry. Don't do that. It's mean.
Don't do that. That's mean.
But also, if you can't, like, manage to get a textbook, your child's learning is important. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. keep in mind that if your teen has a locker, you will need the combo or an inconspicuous pair of bolt cutters. Please plan ahead. create a distinct learning space. You've probably been hearing this a lot for your work. This also applies to work. A lot of this stuff kind of applies to work too, if you tweak it a little bit. It's good to have a specific space dedicated to doing work. Mom has made herself a little burrow downstairs. Mom, tell us about what you've done to set up an office space for yourself so that you can work.
Well, we've always had an office space in this house. I just have never really used it, partly because I don't like being cold and our basement is cold, partly because I try not to work at home too much, or at least like I have had a preference in the past to just sit at the kitchen table or in the chair in our living room. But I need like a lot of concentrated time to pay attention, and I need to not be looking at what you guys are doing. And so I have cleaned up an area in the office downstairs. There's a desk. There's a not very ergonomically sound chair that I'm trying to improve with pillows. There is a little bit of natural light, not quite enough, but it's okay, right? It's like the main advantage of it is that it is away from all other distraction.
Yes.
And it's cold, and so you bring me your space heater when you're done using it.
Yeah. I've been taking good care of Mom in these dark, dark times.
Oh my goodness, so much. Like, she feeds me. The kids have been cleaning the house more than they ever have before. Jonathan scrubbed the bathtub yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was so nice. And Elizabeth has been like looking after all of my food needs and tea and everything. It's great.
Yeah, there are a bunch of memes going around about how you deal with stress during times like this. And the stereotype I am is the baker. So I am making so much food. It's great. And also probably a sign of uncoped with stress. So that's a fun thing to know. I have a little desk set up in my room that I've been cleaning off for when classes resume. It's great if you have something like that. Because doing all your work on the bed kind of leads you to want to fall asleep on the bed instead of doing the work. And that's probably bad. Another thing to acknowledge is that this process is frustrating. I am nervous and angry and irritated about a lot of stuff right now. Some of you may be worried about friends and family or struggling as events are canceled and businesses are closed. Avoid burnout by taking time for your mental and physical health. This is just as important for your child as it is for you, and vice versa. So take care of yourself, okay? Yeah. And many school events are being postponed or canceled. Legally Blonde, for example, the musical I was going to be in, can no longer rehearse and may not happen now. This is heartbreaking for the cast, obviously. Sports seasons may be ending early or not beginning. This is especially hard on grade 12 students. If you have a grade 12 student like me, pay attention, because school events are especially important for them. People have already purchased their grad dresses and are now processing that they may not have a traditional graduation ceremony. There's going to be a lot of grief around that. So try to be understanding. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but it can be a really big deal to miss out milestones like that. And also let your parents grieve that you aren't going to the graduation ceremony that you didn't want to go to anyway, because they were way more invested than you for some reason.
Yeah, suddenly every parent is dealing with the grief that I already felt all this year when you said you wouldn't go to the grad ceremony or the banquets.
Yeah, I've lost such a good bargaining chip. If you do this for me, I'll go to grad. But also, if you do this for me, I'll go to grad. Also, I kind of wanted to rent a tux, so that's heartbreaking. Yeah. I'll have to find a different reason.
What's wrong with just, it's Wednesday?
I will play. I will pay $100 to have this tux on my body. It's fun. On the bright side, exams are canceled. All provincial achievement tests and grade 12 diploma exams will not be taking place this semester. If you had tests last semester, those still count. Those still happened. But because how your classes are working is irregular and they can't really guarantee a quality of your education, you are not taking those tests. Also, exams are usually cramped in a gym or some other testing area, and that is a good place to get a lot of germs everywhere. So it's just not a very sanitary thing to do. Also, if you were taking some sort of language exam, like the DELE exam for Spanish, which I was considering, but also the DELF exam, the French one, make sure that if you were signed up for those, confirm whether or not they're happening. They're probably not. And if you can get money back, get money back. Because money is a good thing to have, I think. Probably. I'm barely an adult. So what this means is if you are on track to graduate, you will. If you're on track to progress to your next grade, you will. IB diploma exams have also been canceled, so you can reassure your overachiever that their overachievements are still going to count for something, and that they don't have to take the final test in order to have that recognized. So yeah, that's nice. You should still study for school in theory, I think. Probably.
Yeah, well, this to
Mom
me...
Mom has thoughts.
I have thoughts. This, to me, is just revealing so many things about our education system, right? Because standardized testing is ridiculous and does not actually help most things, right? It's mm-hmm. like this snapshot of a day for what you were able to cram into your head before, and then you'll probably forget all of it afterwards. And it enforces teaching to the test instead of true actual education, and grinds all the love of learning out of school, in my opinion, right?
Yes.
And now it turns out that everyone agrees that mm-hmm. standardized testing is actually not important. Education is important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
But true education, like where it's project-based and rooted in the natural curiosity of a child and guided by someone with some expertise and knowledge to point you in the right direction and teach you how to learn, is valuable. And to me, there is an opportunity here for us to concentrate on that part. The problem is, who makes it happen when you have teachers that are like scrambling to change everything to be able to deliver something online, and you have parents who are just stretched to the max, just trying to keep everything together through this, right?
Yeah. But hopefully stuff will be better and not worse than it was before. Or at least it will be like different and interesting and not soul-crushingly difficult. I'm so glad I'm not taking physics this semester is where I'm at right now. Shout out to Mr. Baczynski, my physics teacher. You did great. I do not think I could do your class remotely. Some resources for you to look at that are reliable and official and not your local teenager. The government of Alberta has a website with a number of resources available for parents to help with their children's learning, little curriculum guidelines, stuff like that. Edmonton Public School Board and Calgary Board of Education also both have information and resources. We will link these things in the show notes. These are good places to look for a little rundown of what your kid is supposed to be learning. And if you feel like helping to supplement that, that's probably good. I help my brother with English sometimes because I'm a huge nerd. To keep ourselves busy during that first week off of school, we did a little unit on Edgar Allan Poe, which I remembered was part of the grade 9 curriculum. If you have books left over from classes you have or stuff like that, face-to-face learning is, I think, still really valuable. And I don't count live streams as face-to-face learning because I'm too busy being stressed out trying to keep the technology working. So, yeah.
Just to counteract your Luddite tendencies around that, though, something else that I noticed that we'll link in the show notes is like the University of Alberta has a number of MOOCs. Do you know what a MOOC is?
I have no idea.
A massive open online course. And so it's meant to like disseminate the knowledge of the university as widely and as accessibly as possible. And someone published a list of where the University of Alberta's MOOCs coincide with the curriculum at all levels. And so you could take Mountains 101 or Dinos 101 or what have you. And that's a like that it's been tried and tested and is like certifiably good learning, and that could be like another way to supplement what you're doing.
Rad. Okay, so there's the practical stuff. Ta-da. Now let's talk about some, in my opinion, do's and don'ts when it comes to weathering this this pandemic and also each other, because you've probably been stuck in the house with people for a long time. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Okay.
You guys can't see it. I am doing hand gestures.
Yes. This episode is brought to you by Taproot Edmonton, your source for curiosity-driven coverage of our city cultivated by the community. It's also, full disclosure, my business and a thing that I'm working really hard on to make happen.
And I am proud of you.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. Taproot has launched a service to answer your questions about Edmonton's response to the COVID-19 pandemic and our experience of it. The idea is to help you understand this complex and quickly evolving topic with succinct, well-sourced answers to any questions you might have. So see what we've put up there so far. Add your own questions. Keep coming back to see the updates at taprootedmonton.ca. You can find our COVID-19 microsite there. taprootedmonton.ca.
Woo. Woo. Okay, you aren't at your place of work. Your kids are not at school or in daycare. It has been 2 weeks and you're officially sick of each other. What do you do about it? Do go outside. With asterisks, many asterisks. COVID-19, as understood at time of recording, is spread through close contact between people. Outside is big. Outside will not hurt you. Go for a walk or a jog or a bike ride. This is actually a great time to take up running, and it will give you a break from your suddenly crowded household. That being said, do not gather in groups. Jogging is great. A bunch of people jogging in one location is not great. The goal of social distancing is to stay at least 6 feet away from people. So go outside in a place where that is possible. If you're like us and you live in a neighborhood, it's actually pretty easy to like walk down your local street and maintain social distancing and also get exercise and fresh air and sunlight, which are good important things for your mental and physical health. Take care of yourself. This is also taking care of yourself. Feeling like you have to stay inside your home, well, the general message is good. I think it makes people feel like they're trapped. Yeah. You still have freedom of movement, just don't, like, move with a bunch of people. You've lost, if we're looking at our social studies rights and freedoms, you've lost your right to assembly, but you still have the freedom of movement, you know? So it balances out in the end. So, yeah.
Little addition there. If you have symptoms, just stay
inside. Yeah.
But if you don't have symptoms and you're willing to stay 2 meters apart from any other humans that you're not already living with because you're close together all the time, then yeah, go outside.
Yeah, it's good. It's healthy for you. I kind of want to like go for a walk in a graveyard right now. Like, that's my instinct. It's like a macabre memento mori situation, and it's totally chill if that's not your style, but I'm like mildly goth and I'm like, this seems like the time. I don't know though. Whatever. Good to exercise, good to go outside, good to get sunlight. Do reallocate labor. People may have more free time now, or less in your case, somehow, because I thought that wasn't possible. But my brother and I no longer have a commute, and I have, like, generally less time stuck in the school building. So discuss chores like laundry and dishes. We had a conversation about this the other night. These can help establish a routine, keep the household running smoothly. If you like baking like me, offer to make something every few days. My brother and I have been cooking lunch, stuff like that. But do not employ your teen. This is something we are working on balancing. Just because they are around and capable of doing work doesn't mean they're going to hop to it now that they have the time. We are people, specifically like kind of crotchety, grumpy people, and that just doesn't super work well. They probably have things that they want to do and maybe coping with reduced privacy. I know I've been dealing with this. I miss being home alone so much. I often spend long periods of time in my room blasting music like the worst cliche of an edgy teen because I don't want to share a space anymore. So just because somebody's home and you want the sidewalks to be shoveled and also the dishwasher emptied and also the laundry done doesn't mean like you are the solution to all of these problems. They are the solution to maybe one of those problems and then a period of chill time, possibly. Work it out in your own household. Everybody's different. But like, if everybody's telling me to do stuff all the time, I want to do none of it. So just generally be considerate to that.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So
this is not a subtweet, I promise.
Well, it is a it's not a subtweet. It's like a tweet, like mentioning
I added you.
Picture on it. But here's where I agree. I don't like people telling me to do stuff that I was already doing or planning to do. Right? Like that bugs me, and that makes
or that I don't think should be my job. That's the other thing.
Sure.
I'm like, this is not my responsibility and it should not be my responsibility. I could be wrong about that, but I hold that belief strongly.
You
do not let it go.
You definitely do hold that belief strongly. When you're a grown up, nobody tells you to do these things. You just do them. And you do them because it's part of being like a citizen of your household, and because the house doesn't work if those things aren't done. And it's like part of growing up is just like not taking a tally of all of the stuff, just doing the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it is nice when you, like, one of the benefits of having children is you can outsource some of the stuff to them, right? They make work, but they also can do some of the work, especially mm-hmm. when they're the age that you and your brother are. But as part of what I'm trying to, as I raise children, I'm trying to turn you into grown-ups. And being a grown-up is, like, doing more than your fair share sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But also keep in mind that we are tiny, grumpy people with feelings.
I always try to remember that.
Do stay connected. I am an introvert and might not hold a conversation longer than 2 minutes, even during a full-length school day. I am valid, but probably not the norm. People are going to start missing their friends, so remind them to reach out. This also applies to you. Call, FaceTime, text, just generally check up on people outside of your immediate family. This will also help you with being sick of each other if you have other voices coming in. My friend and I decided to... Like, just the other night, decided that we were going to write song parodies. Like, we both picked Bohemian Rhapsody and then each independently wrote a parody song and then compared notes. And it was, like, a fun little social activity that we did remotely that connected us to each other. That is good. It's good mental health care. It's good self-care. And it's good being a person, which is a social creature. And also, do spread important information through social media. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. memes and TikTok. Seriously, I first heard about most of the school stuff that's going around from Instagram, where people are posting it.
Really?
Yeah, the school has an Instagram account. Nobody follows it. Nobody cares about it. Doesn't matter. But other people posted on their stories, here's how the timetable is working. Here's how the schedules are. Here's this video from these people telling us what's going on. Like, it's a legitimate source of information that your teen has access to. I don't really consume traditional media. I'm not going to hear about this stuff from the TV or the radio. So these are great alternative ways to get information out there. However, do not trust anything you hear through social media, memes, or TikTok. There is no quality filter fact-checking stuff for you. Double check this stuff yourself and do not repeat things you haven't confirmed. There's this diagram, this visualization that's going around for how the pandemic spreads and how you take one person out of a chain of dominoes or matches and it stops.
Yeah.
It's like that for misinformation too. So do not continue spreading that. Stop it. There's a lot of misinformation and dangerous and racist rumors floating around right now. Do not perpetuate them. I've seen this in memes sometimes where I'm like, that's not confirmed and you shouldn't be posting it. And I'm not going to save this. I'm not going to share it and I'm not going to repeat it. Right? Okay. So it's good to do your due diligence. And that's true for pretty much anything, probably. That's just general life rules on the internet.
Yes.
Is if you can't confirm it, probably don't repeat it.
Yeah, it's really hard. You even see like people who really absolutely should know better. Their whole job is verifying information, and then something will come across their attention that that they agree with, whether they whether it's well-sourced or based in reality or not, and they'll just send it out, and then they will regret that.
Yeah.
Or they'll double down and say, yeah, but I think it was true. So it's bad.
Yeah. So it's a good way to get information, but once you have that, like, look into it. Don't just immediately act on it. Do support local businesses. Mom has been reminding our house to do this as a local business herself. Of course, do this safely and carefully. If you have symptoms, stay away from people and do order delivery or do pickup, stuff like that. Don't congregate in spaces again. Yeah. Your health is a priority, but if you can safely get a cake from your local bakery or books from a local bookstore, go for it. You're helping your community. Use capitalism for good.
Indeed. We on that COVID-19 Taproot page I was talking about before in the ad. This is not the ad part. This is just information part. Somebody asked how we can help small businesses. And there's so many people out there who are putting together good like lists and resources for who's offering delivery, who's offering curbside pickup, who's pivoted their business to e-commerce or always were e-commerce. So you could always just order and keep getting money into these businesses so they can still be there when this is all over. So we'll link to that in the show notes.
Yes.
A super fun thing I wanted to tell you about.
Please tell me a story, Mom.
Well, Linda Huang, who's a fellow podcaster and also a Taproot curator and otherwise entangled in my life, she, on her blog, created this interesting fun thing where she's got like a wheel that you can like spin and it'll land on one of 50 or 100 local businesses and just say, you know, buy a cake from Sugared and Spiced or get a book from Glass Bookshop or whatever.
So, that's great.
Yeah, that's very cool.
This is the only episode where I'll be nice to capitalism, but it's keeping us going right now for now, so let's do it. Do not sit around staring at the wall in despair, in excess. Did that for the first 4 days of home. Can't recommend it. Wasn't great. Paint was already dry, so there was nothing to watch. So do entertain yourselves. We have been finding ways to entertain ourselves a lot, because even though Mom is busy, she's not so busy that she can't have moments of, I don't know what is going on and I'm scared, or I'm bored. And so it's important to like have distractions from that. Go to the arts. Your teens have more free time than you, presumably. So we have become masters of entertaining ourselves. Do you know somebody who plays video games? We do. Ask them to teach you or play against you. My brother and I wasted an hour creating a Mii with an elaborate backstory on a Switch. Legitimately great time kill. If I can figure out how to get pictures off the Switch, because I too am an old woman, then we will post pictures or something, because she is a delight and I love her. Lots of people are playing Animal Crossing right now. I've never played it, but it seems like a great recommendation for a really calm time killing game. I play Minecraft on my phone a lot. I like building stuff. It's good. It's relaxing. It uses up a lot of time that could be spent panicking or being sad or just generally sitting in on Wii, if that is how... Is that the correct use of the word on Wii?
Wii.
Anyway, Mom, are you a gamer?
As we have established on a previous episode, I'm not a gamer, but I did enjoy playing Speed Dating for Ghosts with John on his Switch. So I enjoyed it on many levels. The game on its own merits is just delightful and totally my speed and totally the speed perhaps of other people of a certain age like me. And I also enjoyed it because my friend Ben Shalina made it. And
yes.
I adore Ben and was happy to be able to buy his game on a device that I could use or at least could deputize John to use.
Yes. There are other kind of games too. If you're a board game family, you're terrifying and I don't trust you. But also, this is a great time to play board games with your family. We will not. We are not a board game family.
You said
really.
You wanted to play Trivial Pursuit again.
Yeah. We played it like once though. We are not the board game family in the traditional right. But we do a lot of puzzles, I think, in this house. I do a lot of Sudoku. My favorite quote-unquote video game on my phone is the Sudoku app. I killed so much time doing that. And I have a book of New York Times crosswords that I've been slowly piecing through with the help of Mom, who actually knows how to do crosswords good. Although we both got stuck on one and then got mad at the puzzle immediately after, which was maybe more fun. I love watching mom judge people who make these because she's such an expert.
Well, I don't know how to make a New York Times level crossword, so I shouldn't judge, but that was an irritating one.
What's the other thing you guys have been doing to pass your time?
Oh, John and I have been playing a lot of crib, a lot of cribbage, the board game or the card game of old people everywhere, like really old people, right? And he loves that game, and I love that he loves that game for lots of reasons, partly because I used to play with my grandparents all the time when I was growing up. I have been playing this game since I was a little kid, and that he loves it and that he's so into trash talking and everything has been fun.
It's so sweet. It's the most wholesome, sickeningly wholesome thing in the world. They have to play three games every night. He's very insistent about this. It's great. And the other thing we've been doing is we've been reading a book together as a family. By we, I mean me. I've been doing the reading, a little bit of John, and Mom's been sewing. But we're working our way through the first Welcome to Night Vale novel, which is another podcast. And I think we're enjoying it so far. It's been a
it's delightful.
Good use of our time. Yeah.
I spend all day staring at a screen. And so it's really important for me to not do that for part of the day. but it's very seductive to just want to check Twitter or Instagram. And then an hour later, you have just stared at a different screen. Like, it's not a break from work. And so to have... But I'm also finding, like, my attention span for reading is low. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm having a hard time just sitting down and reading a book. So I can sit in the easy chair and mend my jeans, like, you know, Marmee from the old times, and listen to you guys read this really funny book and really well, like, you're good readers, and laugh at the jokes and... be just transported to this bizarre world that Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Kramer invented, and it's just great.
Yeah, so we're enjoying that, and it's been a good bonding experience. So that's nice. Lastly, there's capital E Entertainment. Artists who rely on tours and live productions are struggling right now. That includes theater companies, drag artists, and musicians, probably a lot of other types of artists out there, because art is a lot of things. Many of these people are compensating by putting their work online, which means stuff you previously did not have access to, you may now have access to. And Mom knows where to find this stuff because she runs a place that curates that, so...
Well, we didn't put together everything that's out there. There's almost too much out there if you could include everybody, every artist in the world that's putting their stuff online right now. But I'm always interested, particularly in local. And so somebody asked, how can we help local artists? So we put together on the Taproot site just a list of a running list, too. We'll keep updating it, of places where you can find live streams of music, theater, whatever else people are doing. We'll link to that in the show notes. And the other thing that I think is really important is it's lovely, it's wonderful for these people to share their work. We need to find a way to pay them. Right? We always need a way. It's easy to pay an artist for their work when you're going to a live thing. Like, we've kind of accepted as normal in our society that you pay for a theater performance. Mm-hmm. So much is free online. It's hard to figure out how to make sure that all that work and creativity is compensated. So some people have set it up so that it's easy to pay them. And some people are just asking for donations. And if you possibly can, knowing that everybody's got a different, or lots of people have a difficult financial situation right now, but if you can pay them, that's good.
Yeah. The other thing is a lot of people do visual art as a supplement. And if they aren't getting the wages they used to be getting for their work, this is a great time to open up a commission. If you've always wanted to commission somebody, this is a great time to do that if you have the income. Support all kinds of art. Art is good. Art keeps us alive. It's a good thing. I hope that's not controversial. Other things, you can start doing movie nights. We've done movie nights in our family before. Right now we're doing reading nights because we're looking at screens too much already. But there are services like Netflix, Canopy, all sorts of streaming services. Actually, I'm surprised by how many people don't know about Canopy. Can you tell people what Canopy is for a second, Mom?
Well, Canopy is a streaming service that's run by or hooked in somehow to libraries. So you can, using your library card, you can get access to movies.
Yeah. You literally have access to a ton of great movies right now and probably don't even know it.
Yeah.
Check out Canopy. There is so much good stuff. All the old Charlie Chaplin's slapstick comedies are up there. Airplane is there. Yeah. We watched Airplane a while ago. There's a lot of good stuff. Lots of really schlocky horror movies, if that's your jam, and it is mine and not Mom's. A lot of classic cinema is available to be streamed. There are a couple of classic Hitchcocks on Netflix right now. And if a member of your household is studying a second language, watch a film in that language. I'm doing Spanish through high school, and a Spanish film called The Platform, which is a horror film Mom would hate, came out on Netflix. And I watched it in Spanish with English subtitles. And I'm furthering my learning, and I'm also entertaining myself. Is good.
Yeah.
So culture yourself. It's a good time to do that. And like, if there's a movie you've always wanted to watch, track it down, stuff like that. Watch But I'm a Cheerleader like 3 times. Like I said, culture yourself.
Why are you interested in that show?
? And all else has failed. Welcome to YouTube. So far, the mighty have fallen. Lately, Mom has taken an interest in the YouTube channels my brother and I frequent.
Not all of them, just some of them.
Some of them. For viewing alone or as a family, we recommend Unraveled. Mom, explain Unraveled.
I'll try.
Yes.
Unraveled is Brian David Gilbert.
Yes.
He of the delightfully floppy hair.
I swear to God, Mom loves this boy more than she loves her own no, biological children.
That's not true. He will just break down to unbelievable levels of dorkiness, video games and...
Yeah.
Mostly video games are the ones that you've shown me. Are there
it's
other
all video games, all video games because it's hosted on Polygon, which is a video game YouTube channel. Through Polygon and actually the McElroy Family YouTube channel, I also recommend Monster Factory, which Mom doesn't like because it makes her upset because it's scary, but it's good. It's really funny. Anyway, Unraveled. This theater nerd, young video games geek, takes different subjects from video games and turns them into these big pieces, analyzing them as art, and dissecting them, and it's really fun. Do you have one you'd like to recommend, or should I recommend one to start with from Unravel?
You were the one who held my hand and introduced me to this world, so what do you think is the starter level Unraveled?
Well, I think just for the time, and this is not necessarily a standard Unraveled, but I think it's the best distraction that's very relatable, is him cooking all of the meals from Zelda Breath of the Wild. We will link that one. I haven't shown this one to Mom yet. I have to. But it's just 30 minutes of guys trying so hard to make all of this food that shows up in this video game with ingredients that do not work to make food. And it's one of my favorite things to like listen to while I'm doing stuff. And it's probably relatable right now because you're trying to cook way more than you used to cook, and put together meals that maybe are, as he would call it, dubious food. So yeah, I think that's a really fun time-killing video. Todd in the Shadows, and I think especially Train Records and One Hit Wonderland. Do you want to tell us about Todd?
So Todd in the Shadows is he's a music nerd.
Yes.
And he does videos that analyze music from various different points, like vantage points, I guess. Train Records is he will look at kind of a record that wrecked a band's future or like ended their career.
He says killed their career.
Killed their career. And then One Hit Wonderland is when he looks at a one hit wonder and tries to figure out how did this become a hit? Why was it only one hit? Why, like, how did they fail to follow that up? And did that artist deserve better? And it's, for me, the ones that I'm most interested in are the songs that I remember, right? And so he's it's a nostalgia trip for Gen X folks.
Do you have one specifically to recommend for Gen X folks?
One of the train records that we watched that John showed me that was really interesting was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
And then the One Hit Wonderland. I love it when it goes back to the 80s because this was like the music of my high school.
Yeah.
Right? And so anytime that he does like something about like an 80s hit, which I can't remember right now, but there we'll link to the channel and point to some.
We watched the Right Said Fred one recently, right, and that one was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm So Sexy was very. I'm too sexy.
You're too sexy, Mom.
I'm too sexy for this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Chris Fleming, I recently introduced Mom to. This is more dipping into the world of short internet skits, but it's still fun. Tell us about Chris Fleming.
Well, I'm still not sure if I'm enjoying these or horror watching these. Like, I can't, like, it's just, he just does these little satirical songs about social phenomena that you will recognize when you see them.
Yeah, he's a super offbeat musical comedian, kind of in the same wheelhouse as Bo Burnham and Weird Al, very much in the same wheelhouse as Weird Al in the Hair Department, which mom cannot fathom this man's mullet. She can't comprehend the mullet. It doesn't, like, it. She keeps asking if it's his real hair, and it is. It's just, like, she can't. She cannot.
No.
But yeah, he's really fun. Do you have... I've shown you a couple of these. Do you have one that you think would be...
Well, this is, like, not appropriate to watch with your children.
Yeah, this is not a children one.
No, but the one about the polyamorous guy is never the one that you want to be or something like that. Was,
the polyamory one is good. Yeah, okay. SB Nation, and specifically the work of John Boyce.
Mm-hmm.
I've shown you a couple of these, like two of these. I've shown you two of these, three of these. I've shown you three series some point. I've shown you this. It's sports.
It is sports. Like, it's sports that you do not usually consume sports.
Well, I don't know if that's
that much.
I think I'm kind of deceptively into sports. I play a sport.
Yeah.
And I like wrestling, which is in quote unquote sport.
Yeah.
I like the sports part of it. Yeah. I like football, actually, and I like hockey, and I have a fair amount of fluency in the sports world. These are, for the most part, they don't cover the sports that I'm into, but, like, I like sports.
Okay.
Is the point of that segue.
Well, and I like sports as a spectator, maybe.
Yeah.
More than you, maybe, but maybe not. Anyway. These SB Nation... videos are like just deep, unbelievably deep dives into arcana of sports history and statistics and like weird things that happened, and very enjoyable escape.
Yeah, these are like well produced, dragged out sports documentaries. Yeah. they're great. There's one series that SB Nation has called The Fumble Dimension that they've been doing, where they take sports video games and kind of break them in fun ways. The first episode is breaking a basketball video game by making literally everybody in the draft for like 50 years 40 overall, like 5'2" terrible at everything player, and then they have to play as those teams at the very end.
Wow.
It's the funniest. it's an hour of great goofs. And then they have these long documentary series as well. They've just started a 6-part series on the Seattle Mariners, which is a baseball team I've come to understand. each episode's going to be like long. The first one's out already. They're coming out on Thursdays. Great time kill. Anything these guys put out is a great time kill because they're all longer than they need to be and they're all still super engaging. So yeah. And now for viewing that makes Mom too sad / scared that I think is good.
I know.
But Mom would not like.
That's true.
Ask a mortician. Mom is doing the sad scared face. So it's run by this woman, Caitlin Dowdy, who has a not-for-profit funeral home. And she's working to just generally improve the quote-unquote death industry. And she does these really interesting, respectful, informative videos about all sorts of topics related to death. And I love it. And it's actually a really good way to deal with a lot of the fears that are going on right now is to just confront them head on and learn about them. She has a 15-minute long video out that just came out about how funeral homes are handling the pandemic, which can be a good put your mind at ease sort of thing. And she also has a half-hour long documentary about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which I found personally interesting as a Canadian.
Yeah.
So we were all like, Gordon Lightfoot song. It's part of the culture. We all know it, right?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting as well. H. Bomber Guy. This is a British dude who makes content that is wildly variable, but all very good. So he has, again, related to what's going on right now. He does these looks at different things, like artistic analysis. So there's a game that's, it's Russian, weirdly translated, super bad graphics from like the early 2000s called Pathologic. And it's about a small town dealing with a pandemic happening. And he does this 2-hour deep dive into it and why he thinks it's the best game ever. And also you shouldn't play it because it's a terrible video game. And it's so fascinating. It's so well put together. He also has a really good, as a horror fan and as a queer horror fan, he has a really good video looking at the works of H.P. Lovecraft and why so many queer people love this terrible racist homophobe and his bad writing. And I really connected to that one as well. And yeah, just anything he makes, he puts a lot of effort into and is very uniquely produced and really interesting. The last thing is BuzzFeed Unsolved. Everybody has been binging BuzzFeed Unsolved lately. It's like the great escape. It's the only good thing BuzzFeed has ever made.
That's not true.
Miracle. It's beautiful. It's glorious. We hail it with all our hearts. So these two dudes, Ryan and Shane, they do two series under the Unsolved label. So they have Unsolved True Crime, which is the season that's coming out right now. New one came out last night. And then they do Unsolved Paranormal, which is like ghost hunters for the Gen Z age group, basically. So in Paranormal, they will go to a quote-unquote haunted location and they'll talk about what happened there and they'll look for ghosts. And what makes it great is that Shane does not believe in any of this. He is a hilarious, hilarious demon man, and he won't mock Ryan to the ends of the earth for believing in ghosts. And Ryan gets super scared immediately. So you have one man who's like having so much fun doing this goofy thing and like is actively asking the demons to come and kill them as proof that demons are real. And then another guy who's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's the funniest thing. Every episode is basically the same, but I don't care because it's such a delightful formula. And then Unsolved taps into my love of true crime as well and talks about various unsolved true crime cases and what may have happened. And I think as much as it's still like true crime schlock, it's some of the more respectful true crime schlock out there, It's a morally dubious field, and I think they do an okay job for the most part. But yeah, any of those I could recommend, honestly. I think the Old Town Jail, all of their jail ones are great. I love their jail ones. We will link whatever one makes sense in the show notes. But yeah, watch BuzzFeed Unsolved. I have one more do for you.
Okay.
record a podcast.
Yeah.
Seriously, writing and recording this episode has been a really fun distraction for me. I put all my time and energy into putting together a script and creating an engaging and informative product, which I hopefully did. So create stuff. That's a good thing to do with your time right now if you can muster up the creative energy.
Yeah. But also be kind to yourself. And if you don't feel like creating stuff, that is also okay.
Yeah.
Right? There's been somebody, I think it was Erica Ensign, quoted, like, whatever you're doing, it's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have done this, and hopefully this is enough.
Well done. That was very well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations on putting all that together, because it is distracting times.
Yeah. How many words did I write? Too many is the answer. Also, 1,689 is the answer.
Wow.
Which is too many.
All right. So that wraps it up.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helps you survive.
Yeah,
the pandemic. I don't. We might have to do part two. Like,
maybe.
I don't know how
we'll
long
see.
This will
we'll
last.
We'll see how life happens.
Yeah, and eventually we'll get back to some kind of version. I think of Broadway Babies.
Yeah,
yeah. The other thing I wanted to tell you all is we got buttons for that.
Oh yes, we do.
And I feel like one thing that we can still safely do in these socially distanced times is send mail.
Yes.
So if you would like a That's a Thing button with our cover art on it, then get in touch either by a direct message on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG or email us.
Yep.
Send us your mailing address and we'll send you a button,
yeah.
A disinfected button, and we will not lick the envelope.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Shall we go into our end part?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever else pods are cast, including the CKUA app. You can find us and the rest of the members of the Alberta Podcast Network who are doing amazing work during this time.
Like, yes.
There's, like, I tweeted this week that I literally laughed out loud and cried at a number of episodes that I listened to this week. And that was not an exaggeration. This is just everybody's feelings are at the forefront, and I want to thank everybody for sharing that with us. Yeah. Anyway, you can find all their work at albertapodcastnetwork.com. Thank you, John, for editing this episode, because there's not that much work to do, but there's gonna be some, so thank you. Once again, find us on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG. Email us at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. thatsathingyeg@gmail.com is where you can send us your address if you want a button, or complain that we didn't cover this well or something. Don't complain, just say nice things. And I think is that everything?
I think that's everything.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Bye.